save. He paid my debt in full. It was paid in full. I no longer owe. Jesus paid for all my sins. By dying here below.
Hi, you're listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. And we were blessed this last week to have revival meetings here, which we'll explain that more in a minute. And we were also blessed and privileged to have as our preacher, evangelist Dwight Smith. And so we took the opportunity to pick his brain and to ask him some questions and to sense his heart and to learn more about him. And so although Brother Dwight has moved on now to another church and is continuing to preach somewhere else, we wanted you to have the opportunity of hearing him and hearing his heart this morning. So now listen as we hear the interview with evangelist Dwight Smith. Dwight, it's good to have you here with us, and thank you so much for taking the time to share this information with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be able to be on the broadcast today.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your own background and testimony so they get a feel where you're from?
Well, the Lord saved me when I was just 4 years old. I grew up in Indiana, really only about 5 hours from here. And when I was just 4 years old, I was talking to my mom one day. We usually cleaned the house on Saturdays. And we took a break. She took the Bible and was showing me some answers to questions that I had about eternity. And she just shared with me that it wasn't good enough to be in a good church or in a good home, but that I had to personally trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I did. We got down on our knees right next to the cupboard with all the pots and pans in the kitchen. And I asked Christ to save me and wash my sins away. And I remember that day very well. And shortly thereafter, I had gone to church and was baptized. And just am very, very grateful for the day that the Lord saved me. And then when I was 9, our family moved from Indiana to Minnesota. And that was where I spent the rest of my growing up years. We went to a church there in Minneapolis, Fourth Baptist Church, and I grew up there going to that Christian school. And a lot of times people ask, well, when did you get called to preach? Well, I really feel like the Lord called me to preach when I was saved as a boy. And ever since I was a child, I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. And in about 10th grade, I went off to a Bible camp in Tennessee. And I came back from that camp knowing that God had called me to be an evangelist. The preachers there that week, Bill Rice III and evangelist Paul Levine and Bob Kelly and a host of others. So then that's basically how I came to know Christ and how God called me to preach.
Wonderful. Now you have your family with us this week. Tell us about your family.
Well, I met Amber, my wife, at college. Her dad had come to Ambassador Baptist College in North Carolina to train for the ministry. He had been in the military for 20 years and retired. And so I met her there and fell in love with her and finally convinced her to marry me. So we were married in October of 1998. And since then, the Lord's given us 4 precious children. Our Nathaniel is 8, Peter is 6, Timothy is just 3, and Andrew is 1.
And you, all of you travel together.
We do. All of us travel together. This week we have Caitlin, Amber's sister, with us as well. So there's 7 of us in our fifth wheel trailer, and we travel along all over. So we're grateful for it.
Okay. Now, a number of our listeners may be somewhat unfamiliar with what you do and how you do it. So describe what you do as an evangelist, how many meetings you have, things like that.
Well, you know, the Lord's been very good to us. We travel all over the country and around the world. We're in about 40 weeks of meetings a year, 35 to 40 weeks of meetings each year. The Lord's been so good to keep us busy on the road since 1997. We'll be in an area for generally a week, maybe a Sunday through a Wednesday or a Sunday through a Friday, sometimes a little longer. And we'll hold meetings 3 times on Sunday and then every night during the week. And sometimes if we're in a church where there's a Christian school, we'll have 2 or 3 meetings each day. And
wow.
So we'll have, sometimes I'll preach anywhere from 10 to 10 to 15 times in a week, you know, in different opportunities and to different crowds and age groups. And my wife, of course, will take the children out during the preaching, and she'll hold little Bible club for them. And we are involved in music ministry. I play the accordion. My wife plays the piano. Our children, we all sing together, and it's quite an exciting time.
You've been to some 20 foreign countries in these last years. Is the need any different in any of the other parts of the world?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I found in poverty-stricken countries, in third world countries, it's not hard to tell people about a need because they know what need is. Sometimes in affluent countries, it's a little bit more difficult to convey that. But, you know, I just preached in Italy, in Grosseto, Italy, in December of 2010, and we had a wonderful meeting there. Honestly, the Lord challenged my heart with the reality of the harvest. A lot of times people will say, well, the harvest is hard, and the harvest is difficult, and the harvest is not as fruitful. But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. The fields are white unto harvest. And so, you know, really, the great need of the hour amongst Christians and God's people is laborers, people that will, both in their locale and around the world, go with the gospel and win people to Jesus Christ. Because now's as good a time as any. While we were in Italy, we saw 8 people saved in a 4-day meeting. And 4 of those were adults. 2 of those were 80-year-old ladies. So I'm very, very thankful for God's work in the gospel.
So when we talk about reaching our Jerusalem and Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth, their Jerusalem may be in Italy, or their Jerusalem may be in the middle of Missouri. But all over the place, you're saying they just need to look for laborers and seek for the Lord to use them.
Right, and volunteer. You know, hey, not everybody's going to be a missionary. I think every Christian, every born-again Christian should be willing to, but be a foreign missionary. But the truth is, missions is right outside my front door.
Right.
And so I need to be laboring here and everywhere God sends me.
Good. Now, one thing we talk about while you're here and you've preached about already is the issue of revival. And outside of the church, and even inside of many churches, the term isn't very well known. So could you define what you mean by revival when you speak about that?
In Psalm 85, the Bible says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" And the term revive is found throughout the Bible, and the principle is found in abundance. Revival, as I see it from the Bible, is simply God and man walking in perfect fellowship, unbroken fellowship, perfect harmony. In the Old Testament, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man, and they walked in the garden. And then sin breached that relationship. And so Jesus Christ, through the sacrificial lamb and ultimately himself, bridged that gap and made a way for sin to be cured and paid for, and so that man and God could once again walk in reconciled fellowship. In the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, again, God and man are walking together. The Bible says God shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people. He shall be their God. And there's God and man walking again in unbroken fellowship. So as a Christian, after I've put my faith in Jesus and I've accepted the payment for sin from the Savior, then there are times when I drift away from the Lord, and I need God to revive me again and bring me back into that close-knit fellowship once again. Revival is for God's people, for those who have genuinely been born again. I would say the need for the unsaved is an awakening. They need to be born again. They need to accept Christ as their Savior. But the revival that needs to take place today needs to take place first at the house of God and amongst anyone who knows Christ as their Savior. And anyone who may be listening to this just needs to turn. If they've trusted Christ, they need to turn to him with all of their heart and seek him and have a close, intimate relationship with him.
Now, you touched on this just a minute ago, but deal with for a minute on the issue of evangelism. You're an evangelist, and we talk about in the church evangelism. What are we talking about?
Well, evangelism is going out with the gospel to the lost world and telling them the good news that Jesus Christ came and died and was buried and rose again. The evangelist is found throughout the New Testament. Philip is our example of an evangelist. In Acts chapter 8, Philip was preaching. He was preaching to cities. He was preaching to an individual, and he was preaching in an itinerant way. He did personal evangelism, city evangelism, and itinerant evangelism. In other words, he preached the gospel. The Bible says three times in Acts 8 that he preached Jesus, that he preached Christ. In other words, he was preaching the way of salvation, the solution to man's sin problem, the rescue from hell. And so Philip is the evangelist that we follow. In Ephesians 4, the evangelist is listed as a ministry gift given through the local church, to the local church, so that the body of Christ would be helped and encouraged and strengthened, mm-hmm. the local body of believers. And so the evangelist is given to preach the gospel to the lost, but also to stir up the saints. I like what one preacher friend of mine said, that the pastor is the shepherd. He shepherds the sheep. And the evangelist is like the sheepdog. He doesn't hurt the sheep, but he runs the sheep back to the shepherd and ultimately the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the evangelist, Ephesians 4, is given for the perfecting the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God.
As we close this morning, Brother Dwight, is there one thing that you could say to our listeners, one burden you'd like to leave them with?
You know, if I could use as my pulpit the Empire State Building and I could preach one thing to the world, it would be this, that all men are sinners headed to hell. And I was once that sinner headed straight to hell. And that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And the whole purpose for his coming was not to be a martyr or a religious leader. His purpose for coming was to die. And he accomplished death when he died on the cross. And he was buried, and he rose again. And through faith in him and his shed blood and his death, burial, and resurrection, we find life. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." And my message to this area and to anyone that would listen would be, believe on Jesus Christ, because someday death is going to come and it'll be too late to believe on him then.
It was paid in full.
Been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312 or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.